So we're in the book of Malachi, and just a quick testimony, I was born and raised in Kansas, and my daddy was a Baptist preacher, and his brother was a Methodist preacher. Well, one day my dad was out on the porch early in the morning in Kansas, and he had a box on the porch that a bunch of baby kittens were just born the night before. Now, my dad's the Baptist preacher. His brother is a Methodist preacher. They lived in the same neighborhood. So my dad's out on the porch enjoying the beautiful early morning and the baby kittens that were just born. And my dad's brother, the Methodist preacher, was moseying on over to his house and saw him and said, "Hey, Albert, what are you doing?" And my dad's brother's a Methodist minister, remember? And so my dad said, "Well, I'm just enjoying the beautiful weather and watching these baby kittens that were just born last night." So my dad's brother said, "Well, what kind of kittens are those?" My dad said, "Well, those are Methodist kittens, Methodist kittens." So it made my dad brother feel pretty good, and they visited for a little while. Then after a while, he went on home. And about 6 weeks, 2 months later, my dad's out on the porch again. Now these little baby kittens are running around all over the porch. And my dad's brother comes over again and says, "Hey, Albert, what are you doing now?" He said, "Well, the same thing I was doing about 2 months ago. I'm enjoying the beautiful early morning weather and watching these baby kittens grow up." And my dad's brother didn't forget that. He said, "Well, how's my Methodist kittens doing now?" My dad said, "Well, those are not Methodist kittens anymore. Those are Baptist kittens. They got their eyes open." So I don't know if you're a Baptist, a Methodist, or whatever you are. It doesn't really matter. As long as you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, that's all that matters. Amen? I think that when we go to heaven, we're going to see there's a few more people up there, and they're just Baptists maybe, huh? The main people that are going to be there, the only people, is those that have asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sin and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their life and save them. The only ticket into heaven is through Christ, and we hope and pray that you'll trust him as your Savior. We're just a bunch of sinners in this room, amen? And we're just a bunch of sinners. We deserve to go to hell too, amen? We do. But it was because of the love of God that someone came and told us the story of how Jesus loves us and died on that old rugged cross. And we want you, if you're here today and you've never come to a point of realizing that you have no hope of getting into heaven without the ticket, and that ticket is faith and the love of and the salvation of Jesus, we hope and pray that you'll do that today. Right now, I want to talk to you, though, about how you can get God to bless you. How can you get a sovereign God to bless your marriage, your home, your health, your job, and your finances? How can you get an almighty God to do that? That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to have three simple little points, and I hope that this will be a blessing to you. Let's bow our heads for just a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for today. I know, Lord, that we're busy people, and we've got things to do after church in a few minutes. But God, I pray that you'd help us right now to quiet our hearts. Help us to focus upon the word of God. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. May only Christ be heard and seen as the word of God is uplifted and preached. I pray, God, that if there's anyone here that is not positive, if they were to die today, that they'd go to heaven. I pray that today they might come to Christ and ask you to forgive them of their sin and trust him as their only hope. Thank you, Lord, for these folks that are here. I pray that some in this room that are Christians that are discouraged. There's people in this room that are lonely. There's some people in this room statistically at a group this size that are depressed. And Father, we need God to touch our lives today. We need a new vision of who you really are and fall in love with you again. So God, I pray that you might mend marriages, that you would encourage hearts, that you'd put your arms around us and help us to see the love of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I was a little boy, I was saved and 7 years old, but I had ADD. I'm not quite sure what that is, but they didn't know what it was back then. But I guess based on my parents, I must have had it, because in Sunday school class, I would punch the little boy in Sunday school next to me and pull the little girl's hair in front of me and flick the little boy's ear next to me. And I was an ornery little brat. And the teacher got sick and tired of that and said, "Stephen, do you want to go to hell?" I said, "No." She says, "Well, you're the arduous little boy we've ever had. You're going to go to hell unless you ask Jesus in your heart." And so she told me how to do that. And a week later, I trusted Christ, walked down an aisle in a church service and got on my knees right over here in that church and asked Jesus to come in my heart. And then as I was in Sunday school, they taught me what it means to be saved. And then they taught a little bit more about what's called sanctification and then reconciliation and redemption. And And then I grew up a little bit, and a youth pastor came into town. He said, well, you ought to read through the Bible every month. So I thought, well, I try to read the Bible once in a year. What did he just say? Well, you ought to try to read through the entire Bible every month. Well, how in the world can you read through the entire Bible? You're talking about the entire Bible every month? And he said, yes. I said, well, how do you do that? He said, you ought to read 33 chapters a day. It takes about 2.5 hours, and you can read through the entire Bible every month. So I was in athletics and kind of discipline, and I like a challenge, so I started reading through the Bible every month. Now, I wasn't doing it to have my devotions or get right with God or anything. I just read through the Bible every month, and lo and behold, I started learning a lot of different things. And then God called me in the ministry, and I went to a little university up in Greenville, South Carolina. It was a Bible college called Bob Jones University. And then I got very sophisticated. Educated. I got educated a little bit more. And they taught us doctrines like soteriology and eschatology and ecclesiology and omniscience of God and the omnipresence of God and the transcendency of God. And I've heard some of the greatest sermons ever preached since 1959. I've read through the Bible many times. And can I share with you what I think is the greatest truth in the Bible? Of all the prophecies that I've studied and all the different sermons I've heard, and can I tell you what I think is the greatest, deepest theological truth that's in this entire book? Look in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi, and this is God speaking. God says, I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau's Jacob's brother, saith the Lord. Yet I, God, love my people, Jacob. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest truth in this Bible since I've been a little boy, and I've heard thousands of sermons, and I've preached thousands of sermons, and I've studied great, deep theological truths. The greatest truth in this book is that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And Jesus loves you today. Ladies and gentlemen, in this world that we live in that's a mess, God loves you. And God wants to bless you. And God has an abundance of mercies and forgiveness. And he has abundance of blessings that he would like to give you. But many times God can't give us those blessings because we have gotten in the way of the blessings of God. So how can you and I get God to bless us again? Turn, if you would, in Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 8. And what I'm talking about is how you can get God to bless your marriage, your relationship, your job, your work, your children, your life, your health, and yes, your finances. And tonight, we're going to be talking a little bit more about the finances, and the PowerPoint after the invitation talks about that. But right now, how can we get God to bless us? Look in verse number 9 of chapter 3. These are the same exact people. He just said, I loved you. And in verse number 9, it says, ye are cursed with a curse. These are the same people. He just said, I loved you. You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now we as Baptists, me as one as well, I do not believe in prosperity Christianity, that God is just a big Santa Claus up there and all I have to do is pray and he's going to bless me. I do believe, though, that God, as his child, does want to bless me. And he wants to bless you, even he wants to bless you more than he already has. But the truth of the matter is, since I have been saved, I have sinned numbers of times. Have you, since you were saved? And I have given God a million reasons not to love me. And none of those changed his mind. God wants to bless us, and he wants to bless your relationships with loved ones and those around you. But many times God cannot bless us because we have either done something or not doing something that he wants us to do, and he's just saying, if you will just let me bless you, I will bless you immensely. I will improve your relationship, your finances, your life, by simply being in the place of blessing. Now, what does the word blessed mean? The word blessed means to bestow prosperity, goodness, and joy. I'm not making that. That's a Bible definition. It means that God wants to bestow upon you prosperity, goodness, and joy. It's what he would like to do as you are his children. But why can't he do that many times? Well, walk through the history a little bit of the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. Egypt is a picture or a typology of the world. So the Egyptians, the children of Israel, were in Egypt, and they were slaves to the Egyptians. And the Egyptians were a picture of the world, and they weren't of God. And God led them from the world through the Red Sea by Moses going through the Red Sea, which is a picture or a typology of being saved from the world. So they were saved from the world. They were saved to go to the Promised Land. And so they were going to the Promised Land, and they went through the wilderness wanderings, and there's a lot of history there, but then they finally got to the land full of milk and honey. They were excited about this because they were saved from the world through the Red Sea to be blessed by God in the Promised Land. They were all excited because they got saved. Remember what it was like when you got saved? Remember how you thought, man, this is great. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm not going to go to hell. I'm going to pray, and God's going to answer my prayer. And maybe I'll get married and have three kids and a two-car garage, and it's going to be a speed. God, how'd that go for you? Did everything work out just exactly like you thought? Well, the children of Israel got to the Promised Land, and they were excited, and they were saved from Egypt. And so they settled down, and they had to get their families together, so they had to build their houses, and they had to plant their crops and get their animals ready. And all of a sudden, Joshua says, okay, everybody up. We're going to go and walk around Jericho seven times. Jericho were the enemies of God. What are you talking about? We just got here to the Promised Land. We're going to walk around Jericho seven times? Oh, okay. So they walked around Jericho seven times. When they came back and then they were tired, they're getting older. And so the older we get, the more tired we seem to get. And then God says, okay, all right, everybody get up. We're going to go and defeat the Canaanites. And they said, well, we just got back from the Jericho. Okay, we're going to go defeat the Canaanites. And so they went and defeated the Canaanites. Then next it was the Amorites. And then next it was the Perizzites or another, I'm just teasing. But it was another group. And pretty soon one of them grabbed something from one of the enemies of God and grabbed it and brought it home and hid it underneath the tent. And all of a sudden the children of Israel were not blessed anymore. Why in the world? What happened? How come we were blessed and now we're not blessed? Well, we Bible-believing Christians, we've been taught all our lives, love not the world, so we don't. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they're not of the Father, they're of the world. The world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So we Christians, we don't love the world. But I'll tell you what, the world has some pretty cool stuff. And without me knowing it, sometimes if I'm not careful, I can spend a lot of time, money, and effort, energy on that. I don't love the world, but I'll tell you what, some of the things the world has made is really cool. This thing right here called a smartphone. Inside the smartphone is a computer. The computer in the smartphone is 10 times more powerful than the computer that put the man on the moon. This is a telephone. This is a TV. This is my email. This is YouTube. This is Facebook. And this is pretty cool. And did you know that Costco came up with these 85 flat screen TVs? You can buy these flat screen and you can put it up against the wall. I know none of you have a flat screen TV probably, but they do have those now. And you can put it up against the wall. And so what do we do at night? At night, we're tired. And so we turn on our TV, it's dinner time. We sit in our chair, and you have a certain chair you sit in your house. Your wife sits in that chair, you don't, man. And the husband sits over here, and that's not where she sits. He sits there, she sits there, we turn on the television, look at what's happening to this country. Oh, look at the news. I can't believe what's going on in America today. America's going to hell in a basket. I can't believe how wicked drug addiction, sex addiction. I can't believe the border crossing. I can't believe the woke society. Hey, honey, did you see what our daughter put on Facebook? Isn't that funny? Oh my goodness, what's wrong with this country? I've never thought America would be like this. I wish Jesus would come back. How come Jesus? Honey, did you see what I found on YouTube? Isn't that a funny video? That's so funny. And pretty soon, before we know it, we're spending so much time on the things of this world that the things of God go away. And then we wonder why God doesn't bless us sometimes. If I took your phone away for a week, or your Bible, which one would you miss the most? Where's my phone? Where's my phone? Where's my... But I don't hear this right. Where's my Bible? Where's my Bible? How can I get God to bless me again? How can I get Him to bless my children? My job? How can I do that? There's three quick points and we'll be done. You ready? It's going to be kind of quick. Here we go. Turn to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. How can I get God to bless me once again? Love not the world, neither the things. Whatever you and I spend the most time on thinking about, what do you think about the most? Doing, what do you do the most? Spending most of our time, energy, effort, and money on that has become our God. But yet we want God to answer our prayers. Look in Psalm chapter 1. What's the first thing we can do to get Him to bless us? What does the word blessing mean? It means to bestow prosperity, goodness, and joy. No matter how many blessings you have, God wants to give you more. Now listen to these words in Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate both day and night. And in verse number 3, if he does that, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And listen to the last phrase. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Do you know what that means? Now, I studied this in the Greek and the Hebrew and the Latin. No, I didn't. But I studied this, and you know what that means? Whatsoever you do shall prosper. That's what that means. How many of you believe the word of God? Well, you'd say yes, right? And if God says in his word, if you'll do this, thou shalt prosper, what do I got to do to prosper? Let the word of God be found in the morning. Let the word of God be found in my heart and my life during the day. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the only book where the author loves the reader. There's no other book that's been written where the author loves the reader. And if God will find you, just read it. Well, I don't understand it. Eventually, over time, you will. You say, well, I don't know what that's got to do with this over here. Just read it. God says in his word, blessed is the man that walketh not. In other words, he doesn't get his input from the world. He doesn't get it from television or the news. Fox News is never going to change. It's always going to be Fox News, and it's always going to be bad. Why spend so much time watching Fox News when you ought to spend more time reading this book? Because if you read this book, you'll get blessed. Obedience to God's word brings a blessing, and disobedience brings conflict. God wants to bless you. God has blessed me, ladies and gentlemen, beyond I deserve. And God wants to bless you. Well, how can I get Him to bless me? It's not deep. It's getting in the word of God and reading and studying it. Listen to these words. In the Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8, it says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. Listen to this passage of Scripture, Psalm 138, verse 2. I have magnified my name above, I have magnified my word above my name. What's magnified above the name of Almighty God? The answer, God says, is His word. One day there was this man who decided that he's going to get back to reading his Bible and memorizing some scriptures and trying to live it more. And he told his wife, we're not going to watch any TV or listen to the radio until we as a family just get around the Bible, have a few verses, read the Bible. So they started doing that. So he said, we're going to follow the Bible. I'm just illustrating this. He said, we're going to follow the Bible. So he started following the Word of God. His family followed him. He had family devotions. They spent more time on this than they did the things of the world. Pretty soon, his wife taps him on the shoulder as they're following the Bible. She says, honey, there's some people following us. He said, don't worry about it. We're going to follow the Word of God. We're going to obey God's word, and we're going to follow the Word of God. She said, no, really. You need to turn around. There's three people following us. He turned around. And he said, well, don't worry, honey. That's just surely goodness and mercy who are following us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That passage I just quoted is in Psalm chapter 23, in which many of you will have in your funeral.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And it goes on down to the last verse in chapter 23 of Psalm. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you. You know what the word follow means? It means to pursue. Remember when you were dating, before you were married, you pursued someone, particularly you men. You pursued them. You followed after them. The Bible says, God says, that surely goodness and mercy will follow you or pursue you. It will chase after you. It will find you if you hide your word, the word of God, in your heart. It's not deep, is it? But it's profound. If we simply start reading our Bibles more, praying more, memorizing the Bible more, trying to obey it more, God promises he will bless us. Point number two, moving right along. We're just about done. Look in Luke chapter 14. How else can I get God to bless me? I want God to bless my wife and my children and my grandkids. How can I get him to bless me? Point number two. The way to get God to bless you is, the number one is to get back to the Word of God. Point number two is this passage, Luke chapter 14. This is Jesus talking about a wedding, and he was telling his disciples, it was a point of teaching. Watch what the person who is having this feast is doing. He'll invite people that are the most important and close to him at the front of the table. You stay back and wait at the end of the table, and you be humble. And so in verse number 14, chapter 14 of Luke, verse number 11, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. Who's this talking? Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said Jesus unto him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner, watch Christians, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, Jesus says, I want you to go find, call not your friends, nor your brethren, neither your kinsmen, nor your rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made unto thee. But when thou makest a feast, Jesus says, I want you to go find poor people, and maimed people, and lame people, and blind people. And if you go help them, Jesus says, thou shalt be blessed. Well, how can I get God to bless me? I need God to bless my marriage, my home, and my finances. Oh, God, help me. God says, okay. Get back into the Word of God. Point number two, go find people that are not like you and help them. Meet their needs. I don't care what they look like. They may be in a different color of skin than you. They may not be in the same economic background as you. They may not know how to speak English like you do. They're completely different than you. Go find them and bless them. And if you want me, God, to bless you, go bless those that are unfortunate. Find them and go bless them. You think about Jesus and what he did. How many people do we know of that he led to Christ in his home? Where do we find Jesus in the Bible? He goes up to a sycamore tree and finds a Zacchaeus. He goes to his house and he's healing people, and they cut away the top of the roof to bring other people in. He goes out in the country to be by himself and pray. 5,000 men brought their families and he fed them. He went out onto a sea that was turbulent, and the disciples were thought they were going to die in the sea, and he walks on the sea. He went to the pool of Bethesda where a man was paralyzed. He went to a well where people thought this woman was a prostitute and had five husbands. He didn't sit at home and watch the news. He got up. And he went. Ladies and gentlemen, every 11 minutes I've been talking to you, somebody in this country has taken a gun, put it in their mouth, and pulled the trigger. Every 11 minutes in America, somebody in America commits suicide by taking a knife and cutting their wrist. These are not people that are thinking about it. You go study this. You'll find every 11 minutes in 2 seconds, somebody in America jumps off a high rise to commit suicide. Why are so many people committing suicide? 17 to 24 veterans every day on this day that you live, 17 to 24 veterans will kill themselves today. Why are so many people killing themselves? And the answer is because they have no hope. They see no hope. Dr. Bob Jones said, when hope dies on a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. If you want God to bless you, how can you get him to do that? Forget about yourself.
get out there and help people. You don't have to have money to help them. You just need to help them. One day, many, many years ago, a great man of God, Dr. Jack Hiles, had a conference, and he told us pastors that he had this dear lady in his church, an elderly lady who was came to see him in an appointment. She came in and sat down, and she was shaking. She was elderly, and he said, "How can I help you?" She says, "My husband died. My kids don't call me. I have no one. I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. I need you to help me, Pastor. Give me some encouragement. I don't know what to do." And he said, "Okay, well, get a piece of paper. Let's write this down." And so she was kind of excited, and so she sat across his desk and got a piece of paper. And this great man of God said, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to go bake some cookies on Monday. I want you to give them someone you've never met and give them those cookies. Now, on Tuesday, I want you to find someone you never met and bake a pie and give them that pie. Now, on Wednesday, I want you to bake a cake. Find someone you never met, you don't know who they are, and give them that cake." Well, she stood up and she said, "Dr. Hiles, I have problems. I have needs. I need counseling." He said, "We're going to deal with your problems next week at the same time, but you go through every," he went through every day in the week and asked her to do something like that. She was kind of perturbed and she needed help. And so she marched on, said, "Okay, I'll do this, but I've never heard such thing in my life." And so she came back the next week. It was a long hallway, I'm told, where the offices were, and the secretary saw her coming down the hallway. She had something white in her hand, and she was kind of marching. And the secretary saw that it was a pie, and a cream pie, and the secretary was afraid that she was going to throw that cream pie at Dr. Hiles' face because of the way she left. So she called Dr. Hiles and said, "You better be ready. She's coming. She got something I think she's going to throw in your face." He said, "Don't you worry. Just let her in." So she walked in with the pie in her hand, and she took that pie, and she looked at him, and looked at the pie, and looked at him, and put the pie down and said, "Dr. Hiles, you wouldn't believe what happened." "What?" He said, "Tell me what happened." "Well, you know, you told me on Monday to go bake those cookies and find someone to give it to them, and I did. And they just start talking. They have all kinds of problems. I couldn't believe all the problems this lady had. And so I prayed with her. She's going to come to church on Sunday. Now, on Tuesday, you told me to go bake a cake or pie and give it to someone. And I gave them a pie. They just start talking. I led that person to the Lord. Now, I went." And she went through an entire week. And he says, "Wow, that's amazing. Okay, now let's settle down now. Let's just relax. Okay, now let's deal with your problems. I'm ready to talk to you about..." She says, "Well, Dr. Hiles, I'd love to tell you, but you know what? I don't have enough time. There are so many people out there, I don't have any problems in comparison to them. Can we get the ladies together and have a cookout at the church on a Tuesday, and we'll just take our pies and cakes and give it to people?" He said, "Well, sure, let's do that." Ladies and gentlemen, you'd be shocked. So I don't always preach, and I went to a church one time not long ago. The evangelist came by and he said, "You all do this." So any of you ever go out and eat? So I go out and eat once in a while with my wife. And so he said, "Just do this. Next time the waitress comes to your table, just simply ask them, 'Is there anything we can pray for you about?'" Well, that's a little strange for me. I've never done that in my life. I don't know how comfortable I'd be doing that. So I thought, well, we're going to try it. So my wife and I were sitting here at the table. Waitress came over and says, she said, "What is your drink order?" My wife always orders water with no ice. And I stupidly say, "I'll take her ice with my water." And it's ridiculous. So anyway, "Oh, by the way, we pray for people. Is there anything we can pray for you about?" Well, I was totally ignorant. I didn't know who this person was. She bowed her head. She said, "Yes. My husband left us last night, and I have four children. I'm promising you, I'm telling you the truth. So we prayed for her. The next time we went out to eat, which was a little over a week or so ago, a week after that, another lady thought, well, I'm going to ask this one, a young lady. So she came, and I said, is there anything we can pray for you about?" She started crying. She said, "My little boy has leukemia. He's 2 years old and might die. Would you please pray for my little boy?" Ladies and gentlemen, you have no idea in the cars that go by you on that road, or when you go to Walmart or Target or the Walgreens or wherever you go, you have no idea how many of them are hurting. They just need somebody to care. And if you want God to bless you, the way to get him to do that is get back in the Word of God. Point number two, go find people that are not like you and try to be a blessing to them. And when Jesus sees you doing that, thou shalt be blessed. The last point, we're done with the message. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And we know Romans chapter 10, those of you that have been saved for a while, we know the Romans road. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and if thou shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What do I got to do to be saved and go to heaven? I need to agree with God that I'm a sinner and that I have no hope to get into heaven, but by trusting in Christ is my only hope. The Bible says if you do that, thou shalt be saved. Look in verse number 13. We know this verse too. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You could be the greatest, deepest sinner upon the planet. And the Bible says no matter how deep your sin is, listen to this, God's love is millions times more powerful than your sin. And God will forgive you of your sin. Look, if you would, in verse 14, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? We know this by missions conferences. Verse 14, how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? This is my last point. Verse number 15 now. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. There's that word beautiful. That word beautiful can be translated, how blessed are your feet. Whose feet are blessed? How blessed are the feet of them that take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to others. That's just not for missions, that's us. Ladies and gentlemen, how beautiful are your feet? Jesus says, how beautiful or blessed are your feet. Can someone take your shoe and sock off and let us look and see how pretty it is? Are your feet beautiful? What in the world is he talking about? I don't know about you, but I guess it's because I've aged, but my little toe has kind of turned sideways. It's not this way anymore, it's kind of turned like this. And then my second toe is bigger than my big toe. And then my big toenail is changing colors. Red and yellow, black and white, they are, it changes. My wife said, don't ever say that, that's terrible. But my toenail has changed colors. And then my arch has fallen down and it can't get up. My feet don't look very pretty, but you know what my Lord says through Paul the Apostle? How beautiful or blessed are you if you take the gospel? Jesus knew that he was about to die within 36 hours. If you were told in 36 hours you're going to be dead, what would you do? You know what Jesus did before he died and he knew he's going to die? He washed feet. So the disciples, I'm closing here, the disciples were in the upper room. He told them at night, one last time, I want you to go set the table. Turn the candles on. I'll be there in a few minutes. The disciples knew that there was something different in the air that night, and they were sitting there waiting for Jesus because he had some message he was going to tell them that they did not know. And all of a sudden, he came through the door with a bowl in his hand. That bowl was full of water. The Bible says he put that bowl down and he took off his outer garment. And the creator of the ends of the earth that was going to go to the cross got on his hands and his knees. He took off their dirty sandals and he quietly washed their feet. Why did Jesus wash their feet? Well, we Baptists always have been taught they do that because that's a symbol of how we're to serve one another. And while that is true, I think in a deeper meaning, the reason he washed their feet is because he knew that the only people that would take the gospel when he died on that cross and rose again and was gone were those guys. He knew that the only hope for the world was the gospel in them. Ladies and gentlemen, what feet does Christ have? Save your feet. What hands does Christ have? Save your hands. What mouth does Christ have? Save your mouth. What is the hope for America? It's sure not a politician. It's not a party. God didn't even tell us to win America. Jesus didn't come to save Rome. He came to tell the person next to him that he was related to, your children, your grandchildren, the people you work with, the neighbor that lives across the street. We don't have to worry about saving the world. That's not our job. Our job is to
take the gospel to each person that God gives us an opportunity. And if God finds you doing that, God will bless you. How can I get him to bless me? Get back in the Word of God. Love it, read it, study it, memorize it, obey it. Go find people that you don't know and literally help them. And point number three, tell someone the good news that someone told you maybe when you were a little boy at 7 years old that didn't give up on you and told you the truth of the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not fair that I go to heaven. Everybody else that doesn't know Jesus goes to hell because I'm not willing to tell them. Get over your fear. Don't be mad at me. This is not about you. It's about Christ. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. As you have your heads bowed and your eyes closed for a minute, let me ask you, are you absolutely positive if you were to die today that you'd go to heaven because you've trusted in Christ? Are you sure that heaven is your home? If you're here today and you say, Brother Steve, I'm not positive, but I'd sure like to know for sure if that's possible, that I could be sure I was going to heaven. Would you please pray for me while every head bowed and every eyes closed? Is there anyone to raise your hand? No one's looking, and just say, Brother Steve, please pray for me because I'm not positive I'm saved and going to heaven, and I'd like to know. Anyone like that today? God bless you. Anyone else? You can put your hand down. Anyone else? Just raise your hand and say, Brother Steve, if I was honest with myself, I'm not sure that I'm going to go to heaven, but I'd like to know. Is there anyone here today and say, Brother Steve, it touched my heart when you said that every 11 minutes while I slept last night, and since I've been sitting in this church, every 11 minutes somebody commits suicide, and I want to do something about it. I want to be those hands and those feet. Please pray for me that I'll start telling people the good news of Christ. Would you please pray for me, Brother Steve? I have lost loved ones, lost friends, lost relatives, and I need to have the boldness to tell them again. Anyone like that would raise your hand? God bless you all over this auditorium. God bless you. Anyone else? One last thing. If you're here today and you find yourself discouraged or depressed or downhearted or unhappy, and you want me to pray and want the Lord to see more important than me praying, is that God, you want God to bless you again, would you raise your hand? Anyone like that? God bless you. Father, I come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm just a pile of mud. I'm just a sinner. But thank you one day that a Sunday school teacher told a little boy that if he didn't get saved, he was going to go to hell. And dear God, it's not fair that she told me that and I don't tell others. I pray, God, for those that raised their hand that said, Brother Steve, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to know for sure. I pray that during the invitation, they'll simply walk the aisle, humble themselves and walk the aisle, and take the preacher by the hand and ask him to show him how they can know for sure they're going to go to heaven. I pray for those that raised their hand and said they have relatives or friends or loved ones that are not saved. Oh God, I pray that we'll be willing to pray and ask God to help us to be bold enough to pray and love them and tell them the good news. And I pray, God, for those that are going through some trouble today, that you'll help them to trust you as their only hope to get out of that depression or discouragement. Help them to find joy in Jesus. Bless this invitation and the remaining part of the service after the invitation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.